Hey everybody, welcome to the WWE Podcast. Today is Friday, April 20th, 2018, and this is the post-WWE shake-up show. I'm going to go over some of the highlights here, give you my opinions, but before I do, I just want to thank you guys, any first-time listeners out there, for giving me a try. There's lots and lots of options out there, especially when it comes to wrestling podcasts, and I do thank everybody, and those of you who have stuck with me over the last few years. For those of you who are loyal listeners, I do want to thank you as well. And one of the ways, best ways to support the show, get one of these plugs out of the way, and then I'll get to my opinions on the WWE shakeup, superstar shakeup. And that is, if you'd like to support the show, I need your money. No, I'm just kidding. I would love you guys to go to Apple Podcasts, any podcast app you're using, and just give me a rating and review. Hopefully it's a 5-star rating. If not, that's cool too, I understand. But a rate and review, preferably 5-star, is the best way to support the show. I really would appreciate it. And I promise you, I know I've mentioned it before, I am looking heavily into reinvesting into the WWE podcast website. It went down in a number of months ago, so my apologies for that. So it is on the radar. I will just say that the WWE podcast website is on the horizon to make a return, so stay tuned for that. And if you'd like to follow me, please do so on Twitter at the WWE Podcast. And those of you who have done so lately, I do appreciate it. I've noticed a uptick in the number of people who are interested in following my feed, and I do appreciate it, guys. I really do. I know there's a zillion feeds out there, and I want to thank you for doing that. So the WWE shakeup, superstar shakeup, is post-WrestleMania, post-Superstar Shakeup. We've hit the reset button into 2018, and I do appreciate you guys for listening to this again, but let's talk about it. Let's get into it, and some of the highlights. It's not so much for Raw. I got to be honest with you. I think Raw was undersold when it comes to the WWE Shakeup, and really, what big names did they get? I mean, really, they got Dolph Ziggler, Drew McIntyre returning from NXT injury. They didn't get a whole lot. Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, okay, but they were already pretty much written off of SmackDown anyway, so they're just picking up a free agent. So to be honest with you, it really wasn't, and by the way, I'm on the road right now, so if you guys hear traffic or road noise, I'm in the car. That seems to be my place of work when it comes to recording this show, but it works for now, and I listened to my last show, and it seemed to be decent audio quality. So, Raw really seemed to not be they really didn't seem to pick up the long end of the stick when it comes to the WWE Superstar Shakeup. And yes, as I said, they got Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, which I think they needed a change anyway. But they didn't get any big names. No AJ Styles. Yeah, they got Bobby Roode, but honestly, was he really received and as a big star when it comes to a Raw pickup? I mean, I don't think so. I know he was the mystery partner in the 10-man tag on Monday Night Raw, but he did not get that big surprise superstar pop that I think maybe WWE was hoping for. So, yeah, Raw seemed to get the short end of the stick, but they still have Ronda Rousey, which I believe she got an awesome reaction on Monday night. And WWE has done, admittedly, a really good job with Ronda Rousey since her debut. They really could have, I think, dropped the ball, and I think they've done a really good job. I'm not. I have to give WWE its due, and I think that they have done a very, very admirable job with positioning Ronda Rousey for the fans to support her. And so far, so good. And Ronda, I mean, my God, do you see how quick she was in the ring with Sonya Deville? That's something that you do not see from the typical pro wrestler. Her takedown was MMA-like, which WWE needs to continue to do, and they've done a good job with that. Kurt Angle, though, and I know we're talking about the superstars who have moved from Raw to SmackDown and SmackDown to Raw, but Kurt Angle is looking like the fool here. He gets one up by Stephanie McMahon when she's not even on the show by picking up Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. I think, and I know this may be controversial, Kurt Angle's run as general manager may have run its course. I think that he has not done a great job in the general manager role. And I don't mean from an on-air perspective. I mean, it just doesn't seem like a good fit. Kurt Angle seems to be reading his lines every week, stumbling on words, constantly on his cell phone. And I don't know. I'm not feeling Kurt Angle as a GM. I don't hate it. I'd rather have him than the Authority a hundredfold, but maybe it's starting to run its course a bit. And on that note, I'm going to talk about Roman Reigns, and then I'm going to talk about the potential feud of 2018, and I really do mean that. The potential one of top five feuds, if not top three or two. I wouldn't know about number one. It's a little early in 2018 to be calling that. But the Daniel Bryan versus The Miz, which, while it's not on-air official, is pretty much official that it's happening. But I'm going to talk about Roman Reigns quickly. And when he came out Monday night and the crowd completely rejected him, I'd say 90%, maybe even 80%, maybe being a little bit generous, but overwhelming boos. But don't worry, the WWE cameramen are instructed to find those isolated 8-year-olds and women that are holding up I Love Roman or We Love Roman or Roman Empire signs that are, maybe they just put in that stock footage and those people are really aren't in the arena. I don't know. Maybe they just, or they have WWE plant certain people in the audience to make it look like he has support. And they're still going with that notion. But even though the overwhelming majority is rejecting him, and what it is too, I feel bad for Roman in the respect that he is just the figurehead of WWE fans rejecting the idea of Roman Reigns being the top babyface. That's what it is. It's not about him having great matches. He is a good to borderline great in-ring performer. There's no question about it. It's not about that. It is about Roman Reigns being rejected as the top babyface because he's not a babyface character. And it's the backstage antics and all of the politics that have gone on backstage that have become very public. That's the problem with the perception of fans. It's the rejection of him as a character. That's the problem. And I don't know if WWE sees that. But him coming out, let's get back to Monday night, in a man bun, which is getting heat all in a by itself. You don't come out in a man bun with his 1995 gold or silver chain and having come out there like he'd rather be anywhere but there, walking like he's got somewhere better to be, like it's an inconvenience to be there, with no conviction in his voice, no direction. His character seems lost. I'm sorry. His character seems lost right now. No direction whatsoever. Yes, he's facing Brock Lesnar in a couple of weeks. And yes, he probably will end up beating Brock Lesnar. Or is it a week? It's a week away in Saudi Arabia. And I hope to God that the fans boo him from here to high heaven in Saudi Arabia so that Vince McMahon can get the clear message that he is rejected worldwide. And I really hope they do. I really hope they do and they don't use the... And I wonder if they're going to say the Saudi Arabian crowd are non-traditional. Because guess what? You want a definition of non-traditional? They are non-traditional, but I can guarantee you they will not give you the disclaimer up front that this is a non-traditional crowd. I will guarantee you that because it doesn't fit within the narrative of who we're supposed to cheer and boo. Anyway, I ranted about that last week pretty heavily. And by the way, if you haven't listened to it, my last podcast last week, it does have some explicit language that I do not like to use, but I do not apologize for it at all, because that's how I felt. And it was warranted based on the emotion I have about WWE labeling the certain crowds that don't fit in with their narrative, even though they're the most passionate fans, that they just label them as non-traditional and they're all doing it in the name of fun, which is a whole load of you-know-what. Nonetheless, Roman coming out and giving all of that non-inspirational speech, and then Samoa Joe coming out, the heel, was more inspirational than Roman Reigns. And that is not how you position a babyface for success. I do not know what they are doing with the Roman Reigns character. I do not have a clue. But Roman Reigns coming out and giving that whatever speech or lines he had to give, the crowd didn't want anything to do with it. And you had Samoa Joe come out there and cut a cut above promo in terms of quality over Roman Reigns. And yes, Roman Reigns will probably be your Universal Champion as of next weekend, but I firmly believe that the WWE fans will reject this outright, regardless of what city you go to at this point. I really have no idea what they're doing with Roman Reigns. I don't even know anymore. I have no idea. None. Zero. I can't understand the logic for it. So let's get on to something else before I go on a Roman Reigns tangent, as I tend to do every podcast, but I don't apologize for it because I feel strongly about it. So Daniel Bryan and The Miz. Let's get on to something much more positive. This could be, and I tweeted this out earlier this week, one of the best feuds of 2018 if WWE positions this right. What I mean by positioning this correctly and in the right way is by WWE pulling on their history of Daniel Bryan and The Miz, saying this is years in the making. And it is. This is absolutely years in the making. You have a feud ready to go for months and months. This could go all the way to SummerSlam, and I would not be sad if it does. Could they stretch it to WrestleMania? I don't believe so. They already had The Miz call out Daniel Bryan via his selfie promo with Maurice. And so I think they're going to get right to this feud, maybe even next week, and just start the beginnings of it. And they've already laid the foundation. They've already laid the foundation with the It Kicks that The Miz inherited from Daniel Bryan. You have the Talking Smack segment from a year and a half or so ago, maybe 2 years ago, from The Miz talking about Daniel Bryan. There is a lot of history there that Daniel Bryan was unfortunately not able to, at the time, physically retaliate on The Miz. Things have changed. Times are now different. Daniel Bryan can now act on his emotions. And this could be, the promos could be great. I'm looking forward to the video packages. Their in-ring matches bouts, I think, could be very, very good. I'm really looking forward to this this program from top to bottom, from promos to video packages to sit-down interviews to the in-ring action itself. I really am high on this feud, and I've been looking forward to it. You know what? And even when they were teasing it back a couple of years ago with that Talking Smack segment with The Miz, I was looking forward to it then. So now that they can actually act on it, I'm looking forward to it, as many of you other fans out there are too. So kudos for WWE so far. I think they've teased it well, and they have something to really lay the foundation for and work on, and I think they will. I really, it's hard to mess this one up, so I'm going to have faith that WWE is going to be able to present this the correct way, and I think that they will. I'll have faith. So let's get on to the women here, and you have... you have Carmella coming out there and running her mouth, which I thought was a little bit hokey. Some of her laughing and antics on SmackDown Live weren't, you know, they weren't in my taste. Carmella is a good talker. I know she's a trash talker, Skywalker, blah, blah, blah. Or was that Enzo? No, maybe it is. I don't know. She can talk. There's no question about it. But I think it was a little bit diva era-like in a way. But her program with Charlotte should run pretty well, run long. I really believe that, at least 2 to 3 pay-per-views. And I'm really looking forward to that program as well. I mean, everything has hit the reset button. We have hit the reset button. We're out of WrestleMania season, working towards next year's WrestleMania. I think Brock is gone after Saudi Arabia. I do believe that. Shinsuke Nakamura continues to be a very good heel, I have to say. Shinsuke has done a very good job so far. I would stay away from the comedy, like I mentioned last week, of the no speak English. It's too funny. Awesome line, hilarious. You could actually market that in some way if you were a babyface, but I don't think that's a good thing to say as a heel, because it's just hilarious. I mean, I don't know how they didn't come up with that as a babyface, but like I said, I might be able to translate that down the line. But I do enjoy his role as a heel. He's got a great heel look, smile to him when he's being the sneaky SOB. I like it. I really believe that Shinsuke should remain in this role for a while. Big Cass's return. I thought was well done. Him attacking Daniel Bryan, I thought was a good move. Cass as a heel is the right casting decision. I think that that was well done too. So, I'm really overall, I think WWE is in a good spot. I really do believe that. It just seems as if Raw got the short end of the stick when it comes to the draft, aka the trades that were made this past week on the Superstar Shakeup. So overall, great. I don't understand how Shane is still commissioner when he took a leave of absence, but I guess I'm just nitpicking. So, all right, guys, that's all I got for now. I will be tweeting again this weekend if you guys want to talk. And everybody, enjoy your weekend. I'll talk to you next time.